Batting around. It's batting around. It's a baseball podcast. I am your co-host, Jane, and with me as always is Lauren
I'm Lauren.
and Steven.
You.
And you guys may have noticed I'm wearing my these sunglasses while we record here, and I promise I'm not trying to just like be cool. I'm not cool guy in you here. I'm actually blind from looking directly at
Oh,
the
I
eclipse.
warned you not to do that.
Yeah.
I saw Jack Swinski do it and go out and, get two hits and a walk. I figured it'd be fine. I figured it'd be fine.
Yeah,
That
probably
doesn't
not
make
to.
any sense because,
Jack
like, yeah, whatever. Whatever.
Swinski is also not a very good hitter this year. That was just
No.
a
My joke doesn't make any sense. Like, I saw it and there was another eclipse. Whatever.
It got you. Well, you know what it got you about at the same time. Yeah,
Yeah.
I
It's
was.
early. We record early now, so it's I'm allowed to make bad jokes.
Wait, I could have been using that as the excuse the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, the eclipse happened. Pretty cool. Pretty spectacular. Once in a lifetime for most event.
Yeah, it was completely overcast here.
Yeah. I stepped outside and looked up and there were clouds.
Like it was fucking raining, I think.
Yeah.
It just got nothing.
We had beautiful clear skies, but it was still only like 90% VC, so it was like 10% of the light is of the sun is still a lot of sun. We didn't even really like dim it a little. So cool. It was still cool in like a science experiment class way, but I don't know. Next
I
one's in
liked the
Iceland in 2 years.
pictures.
You guys want to go to the one in Iceland?
That sounds fun. It's really cheap to fly to Iceland,
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe there's
but
like a single like three people who play baseball. We could write it up on our taxes.
do they have like a really weird version of baseball, like the fucking
Like the fins.
like the Finns? 'Cause we could do something like that.
Yeah. They got to have their own version of a honkball. Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't be even talking about this eclipse stuff. We should be
Waste of
taking,
time.
yeah, it's a waste of time because there's baseball. We should be taking a cue from White Sox manager Pedro Grifol and saying, there's only two things. There's family and baseball. That's it. That's it. People don't believe it, but I live it. That's all that matters. It was his quote here. And but maybe we should all be living like that, Just baseball and family. Baseball and family.
There's no one on the White Sox roster except maybe Garrett Cruikshank who needs to focus that hard on performance. Like there, it's like who is it that's like fourth in the lineup right now? Some people were making fun of this. It was like
Pilar.
yeah, Kevin Pillar is hitting cleanup for the White Sox. It's okay if they miss like
Yeah.
5 minutes of batting practice to look through the dumb little glasses.
Yeah.
Like it actually took a picture of the players looking at the eclipse with like the giant milkshake that everyone talked about constantly. That's like the best social promotion they'll get this year. Once again this week, the biggest thing that happened to the White Sox was Simone Biles posting that she was at the game getting the giant campfire Oreo thing.
Yeah, that's like that thing is their fucking star player
Yeah.
this year.
They're gonna at the trade deadline they're gonna try to get something for Crochet and that. That's gonna end up like at Dodger Stadium. So they're gonna be the first team to actually like trade a ballpark concession for like a third like a fourth round reliever.
That thing's got to cost like four times as much as a White Sox ticket does. Like, you could probably get, like some nosebleed seats for a couple bucks, and that thing's got to be like $25
You could probably get
or
leftover game-worn Tim Anderson jerseys for less than the cost of that.
The cheapest baseball, Major League Baseball ticket I ever bought was a White Sox ticket. I showed up, it was like 2015. I showed up like at game time and just went to the box office and you're like, give me whatever ticket. And they're like, yeah, it'll be $8, please.
Like from the box office, not even
Yeah,
like
from the
from one of the
box
apps.
office.
Yeah.
Yeah. They probably don't even fucking have a box office anymore.
Yeah, like that wasn't even a real box office. That was just like a guy with a card table set up outside of the field, and then nobody really stopped you from going in. I mean,
That's
we
actually
know they've got lax security. I mean, there was that woman got a gun in last year.
The Nats are actually doing something like that this year. If you show them proof of ID that you live in the District of Columbia, they'll give you a $5 ticket at game time.
Oh, hell yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, fuck those fucking Maryland and Virginia people.
I've been thinking about doing it, but like the only reason I have to go to a Nats game is if Mackenzie Gore starts and he just hasn't really lined up yet. Like that's the only Nats player I'm currently willing to pay more than $5 to see. CJ Abrams, maybe, but.
Speaking of, I finally went to my first game. Have we all been to at least one game this season?
I haven't. I was gonna go to some of the Dodgers games, but got really, really busy with school, and then I got kind of sick. I did not make it to any of those games, but yeah, I gotta go soon. I gotta find one to go to soon. I'm officially jonesing for a baseball game.
Same. I've not been yet, and my two I got a Dunwoody toy. I had to play with a bunch, but I'm gonna go to a game soon. Nats or Orioles. I've got a couple friends coming to town in a couple weeks. I'm gonna make it happen.
One of my favorite things in the world, going to a baseball game with a European who just like has no
Oh.
fucking clue what's going on, and I get to be there and be like, here's what's happening. Try to keep up.
The European mind just instinctually understands balks. Like, no problem for them at all to pick that up.
That'd be, yeah, that's great. They can't comprehend like the infield fly rule. They'll be extremely confused, but a balk, they can pick it out entirely.
Anyone who understands like EU trade regulations has no problem picking up like the subtle motion of the ball.
We got to get that Gunther guy that's on Twitter always talking about how like we need to balkanize Russia. We need to get him in on baseball. That'd be really fun.
Hey,
Talk be like, yeah, we need to split the NL Central into 12 different divisions
Balkanize
somehow.
the NL Central. Get Gunther in here.
Nobody knows what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm sorry.
I
This
don't
is
know
like
I do. I
that's
do.
ex
yeah, Lauren knows, so
I'm
yeah.
the only one. Even then, he's like a very peripheral character on my
Oh,
social
wait,
media feed.
is he
But
the German guy that like
Austrian.
he's like a super NATO guy. It's weird. I don't know.
Oh, not the guy I'm thinking of. Never
He's
mind.
Austrian though. Like I, yeah, he
Okay,
he
okay.
yeah.
The only Gunnar I want to hear about this podcast again is Gunnar Henderson.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know. I haven't been watching a lot of baseball. I've been like really invested
Yeah.
in a bunch of different starting pitchers and Ellie De La Cruz. I gotta watch more Reds games for Ellie De La Cruz. And a Jane, you saw the 15 under 15 second inside the park home run.
Insane.
Insane.
I gotta see
Completely
that.
Superman-esque move. And I've been really fascinated by Shota Imanaga. I've watched all three of his starts now, and he's like a super electric fun guy. He's like getting hit kind of hard, but he's just like profiling that quite the way I expected him to in Major League Baseball. Part of that is I think I had heard a couple people refer to him as a soft tosser in the off season, and I wanted now to ask you guys. I've been trying to figure this out. He throws 92, 93. Like, what does being a soft tosser mean now?
Now it just means like if your fastball doesn't touch 98, if it doesn't average, like I would say 95 or
Like
over, or like
specifically the
94 or
numbers.
over. Yeah.
94 is the league average officially last year. It was the first time the league average was 94 or over. 2022 it was 93.9. Last year was 94 point like 2.
Yeah, I guess if you're under 94, you're just a soft tosser now.
That sounds like such a fucking, sounds like a slur.
It really does. It's always been like a little bit like, oh, a little light in his loafers. Yeah.
It's like I call me a faggot without calling me a faggot.
That Kyle Hendricks, he's a real soft tosser over there on the north side. Yeah. But no, it's crazy. There's only nine starting pitchers so far this season to average under 90 on their fastball. That's crazy.
That's
Like, that's
sustainable.
obviously, like, that is a real soft tosser. I think it's under 90, but like 91, 92, like, I guess we have to include that at the very least, if not 93.
When you go watch the movie Major League nowadays, it's hilarious. And they're like, oh my God, he's hitting like 95 on the
Bull Durham's the same.
gun.
Yeah, he's like electric, like pumping gas up there, and it's like 94 on the radar. Yeah. None of those movies. It's like how you like a cell phone or detective mystery kind of ruins it now. It's the same thing with baseball movies if you introduce like a Cuban. Yeah.
God, I just watched you ever seen After Hours, the Scorsese movie?
No, that's the one where like he's an ambulance driver, right?
No, it's
Or am
this
I thinking of?
fucking yuppie goes to Soho late at night to get some to get laid, and ends up having like this crazy adventure trying to get home, and he just can't get home. And I'm just like, yeah, a cell phone would just completely negate this entire movie.
A lot of movies like that. So I see so many people like making like historical, like problems now. That's, people have
Yeah,
attributed that
yeah.
as like a huge reason for the surge. Is cell phones just remove a lot of mystery out of life, which I'm fine with. Mystery is overrated in like our actual lives. I want definable answers to problems. That's why I look at tips so much. Yeah.
I want to be able to just be like, hey, where is Kirsten Dunst from?
Yeah. I want to suck all the magic out of the world. I want to crush all joy and wonder out of existence
Yeah,
and replace it
exactly.
with numbers. Yeah.
I'm going the opposite way. I think we got to return.
Steven wants answers. He wants to have to like trek up a mountain and ask a woman in a gas-filled cave like what it means. Yeah.
This is just a residual eclipse. You're just feeling that like that urge to like sacrifice a human life to like bring the sun back for another day.
That must be it.
I get it. It's a primordial thing. It's in all of us. I just reject it because I believe in science and the Church of the Atom. Yeah.
But yeah, Shota Imanaga still has not given up an earned run either.
Yeah. Gave up
Pretty
an unearned
cool.
run last night. Very cool. First player ever, I think, to have first three starts with no earned runs, four innings or more, I believe.
Well, should we talk about another Japanese pitcher?
Or maybe the Japanese, the weird guys around the Japanese pitcher. Yeah.
Weird guys around the Japanese pitcher. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I start the segment by saying something that I think needs to be acknowledged?
Yeah, absolutely.
I was 100% right in every regard. Okay, please
Go
continue.
speak on it. What do you mean? What let's go back. Let's go back. Let's roll the footage of what you said.
Roll the tape back,
Yeah.
do my voice backwards like it on the tape player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of conspiracy mongering early on in the before we when we first heard the news of Shohei Ohtani. I totally understand why journalists were skeptical of like the changing story. There was a period of time where that made sense, and it was like logical to kind of question what was going on here. Outside of that kind of journalistic endeavor, there were a lot of people who just kind of leaped to the assumption that I think it was a situation where a lot of people do kind of want the worst outcome for the sake of the drama. And I understand that it's a natural human impulse. Again, I'm the one incapable of letting others experience joy. I said, and I think you both probably mostly agreed with me, it's incredibly unlikely that Shohei actually did anything wrong here. Like, all the story makes perfect sense if you take it as a very rich person was taken advantage of by someone very close to him, which is a very a common thing to happen. And that's more or less exactly what's been revealed here in the complaint that was filed in, let's see, the District Court, Central District of California, against Ippei Mizuhara by the Department of Justice. It's filing with, this wasn't the FBI, right? This was,
It was the
who's actually bringing the
IRS.
case here? The IRS did the actual
It
investigation.
was
Yeah,
the
little.
special agent was a IRS criminal investigator.
God bless the forensic accountants. Please don't look at my Venmo statements last year.
I read the whole thing. Lauren, you read the whole thing as well.
Yeah. It's more than we first thought. It was one of the first takeaways. Is the early
Yeah.
reporting was 4 million. It's actually at least 16 million that he stole from Shohei Ohtani.
Of what he stole. The actual scale of the bets, though,
Oh,
is
it's insane.
crazy. It is
Yeah.
way higher than I thought it was. He it was let me find the
It was I know the rough numbers if you just want to do those.
yeah, it was like 182 million in losses and 140 some million in wins.
Over the
But
course of
he
like 3 years.
yeah, over the course of 3 years, it was like 2021 to early 2024, he thousands and thousands of bets. He did an average of like 12 bets a day
Jesus.
I thought it was closer to like
Hundreds?
25. Yeah, it was a
Or
ridiculous
25,
number.
yeah. Yeah. Maybe
It
it was
like it
25.
literally more than 1 an hour. I assume part of that is what when you're making these deals with like an off-bet bookie, you're kind of lining up multiple trades at once. Not trades, like bets at once. Like it's not like the app where you're just like firing off one at a time. He's probably sending like a list of the 10 games he wants to bet on by how much or whatever. Like there's some speculation like how is he like doing this every minute of the day? I think he probably wasn't. It was probably like a couple times through like discrete texts or whatever. I guess we'll probably know more at some point when it gets further into the case.
Here we go.
But just an
19,000
absurd.
wagers between December 2001 and January 2024, and nearly 25 bets per day on average. The wagers reflected in the 35966 records, which is the his account on the gambling website that the bookie used. Ranged in value from roughly $10 to $160,000 per bet, with an average bet amount of roughly $12,800. During this period, the records reflect total winning bets of $142,256,769.74 and total losing bets of $182,935,206.68.
Jesus.
Ugh.
The sentence right after that, the records do not reflect any bets on baseball games.
That is important. I do think it's like that's an important conclusion. And it's,
Yes.
I do want to make note, I don't particularly want to make fun of Stipe, like, as a guy. Like, clearly
No,
this is like an
no.
insane amount of, like, this is like a very hardcore addiction to gambling, and there's not really a lot funny about that.
Oh,
And
this
also
is
it doesn't really
horribly
matter. He's
sad.
going to jail forever. We'll never see him again. It's just like a brutally cruel story. Everyone involved with it is like Coen brothers villain level stupid, though. Everyone around him enabling this.
Some of the things we learned in this. Shohei had a, you know, he brought Mizuhara over with him as his translator when he came to the Angels.
I actually didn't know that they hadn't been friends for that long before he did that. Like, they had met in like
Right.
2014, and he came over, what, like 2017, 2018?
Yeah.
And they had
Oh.
just been like acquaintances before, or like friends, but not like as close.
When Ipe heard that, you know, Shohei was going over to the States, he offered his services, and you know, Shohei said like, "Oh yeah, sure." It wasn't like, "Oh, he's obviously going to be my translator or anything."
And he was like a full-on bag man. He was like the driver, he was like the
Yep.
translator, he was running errands, he was also apparently signing checks and shit. A weird level of personal involvement.
Yeah, he was incredibly involved. So how this happened, how like this, you know, was possible, because a lot of people are like, how don't you notice like money going from your account? Like, rich people's finances just work differently than everybody else's. Like, they really do. He had several bank accounts. This account was the one that he had set up to pretty much only, like, the only income going into it was from his Angels salary.
Yeah, this is like his WT, like the money on from his W-2 or whatever. Yeah, this
Right,
and which is a
right.
relatively very small amount, especially in the first couple of years, compared to what he was bringing in indoors.
I think like a total of like, you know, $70 million in pay would have hit this account, and you know, more money than that was definitely coming into him from endorsements and other investments and stuff that he had that were going into other accounts. But this account, Ipe had kind of taken advantage of being, you know, Shohei's translator, and really kind of like you said, like his bag man and this guy that does basically everything for him. When people would ask eBay about this account, like, you know, Shohei's accountants and whatnot, the financial advisors, he would like eBay would just tell them like, no, this is a private account. He's not doing anything in here. You know, it doesn't accrue interest. He's not giving away any gifts in it. Like Shohei wants this account to be private.
And the bookkeeper's like, okay.
And the yeah, and the bookkeeper, all these people around him, all these people who don't speak Japanese, never bothered getting their own, you know, translators, just said like, okay, Ipe, that's I guess that's okay.
Only conclusion I can draw from that is that if you are someone who handles the finances of rich people, you just assume they set aside X, mystery millions of dollars in the Caymans, presumably to like run from the FBI if they ever get caught for doing pedophile stuff. Like that's got to be like the pedophile slush fund that rich people just build into their financial lives, right?
Right, something like, yeah, something like that.
Like that's just the hands-off Cayman Islands rocket ship to the moon, like. But like speedboat from Miami Harbor to a country that doesn't extradite plan
Yeah.
the fund money.
But so this account gets set up in 2018, and it doesn't really get accessed at all until 2021, when Ipe changed the account information on it, or the contact information, to be a personal email account that Ipe had. And
And I
he
think he changed the phone number too.
changed the
Yeah.
phone number too. At one point, when this account was frozen for you know, suspicious transactions, the bank got Ipe on the phone where he impersonated Shohei Ohtani. Like, they have yeah
No.
like they have the recordings of this, and like the voice is like, it is Ipe. He answered the security questions. He impersonated Ohtani, got the account unlocked, continued gambling. They have all of the, forensic evidence that Ohtani's phones never accessed this gambling website, never accessed this bank account, that it all went back to ePay, and they have 9,700 pages of text messages between Ohtani and Mizuhara, where they don't talk about gambling at all. Like a IRS agent or investigator or somebody that they had who's a native Japanese speaker went through all 9,700 pages of this, and they found no mention of gambling,
No,
of they found or of this illegal bookmakers, names or sites, anything.
imagine having that job.
I do think there's a very likely chance that these records ever get fully released, that Giants fans are going to go real QAnon on this and like pull Pizzagate it and just be like, oh,
Oh,
Ipe is
totally.
getting him like the bento takeout from his favorite plates. Bento is code. That's code for like bet 500 on the Yankee.
So when we talked about this, the first time we talked about this, I was like, okay, I don't want to believe that Ohtani did anything, and we still don't know what happened, but I don't want to be a Pollyanna about this. Like, I don't want to just be like, say it ain't so, Shohei. But like, looking at this, like, I'm just convinced now that Shohei really had nothing to do with it. You have to have an incredibly cooked fucking brain to read this and still think there's something going on. But honestly, the people who are still being like, this is all bullshit, they didn't read it. Like,
Now.
none of them read it, and a suspicious amount of them are Padres and Giants and Yankees fans,
It's also a lot of people who don't follow the sport very closely. Like I was reading the
Right.
Washington Post coverage of this when it came out, and there were a lot of people who just like, well, this just stinks. This just doesn't smell right. There's something going on here with
No.
no like basis. Didn't read the document. It hadn't even been linked yet. Of course, it was the Washington Post, so they're also like, imagine, whatever he did, it's nothing compared to what Jared and Ivanka did defraud the American public.
Yeah.
That's always the most upvoted comment on any Washington
Democracy
Post
dies
letter.
in darkness, but this isn't darkness. This is a 37-page document that is incredibly detailed.
Very, very, annotated and spot on with the numbers. Yeah.
Yes.
To the point where like I there's like some of the logs between Ipe and the one of the sports bet book guys that he's in what like cooperating with. There's a kind of a funny little thing where he always called him Ippy in the texts. I don't know if he just like didn't get his name because he's always calling him Ippy the whole time, like
I could see it
IPPIE.
just being like some sort of power move by this dickhead
I think he's
bookie
just
guy, though.
a dumb
Like,
Orange County guy.
yeah, just like, I don't actually know your
dumb
name.
Orange County guy for sure. Like, there's that part in there where it's getting towards the end of this, and Ipe's really deep in the hole. He's constantly asking for more credit and stuff, and he's doing the thing where he's like, no, this is my last one. This is my last one. Seriously, last one. Just to bump my credit up one last time. And he's dodging the bookmaker constantly, being like, oh no, I'm in Japan, sorry, or I just got back from Japan. And the bookmaker is like, hey, I just saw Ohtani walking his dog. If you don't contact me, I guess I'll go ask him how I can get a hold of you. So he's clearly like trying to intimidate him there. And also, I just don't believe that he saw Ohtani walking his dog.
I
Like,
was
that
going to
is just a
say,
lie.
absolutely
Absolutely not.
if you take this as a factual statement, unless you are doubting the credibility of the federal government, you have to admit that Ohtani has a dog. You're not getting out of your other Ohtani conspiracy theory now that this one has been revealed.
Look. No, nowhere in this does Special Agent Chris Seymour confirm that Ohtani has a dog. All right? You're telling me that I have to take the word of a bookmaker who is clearly lying at that time that he has the
When
dog?
okay, when
No.
was the dog reveal and when did that text message go out? That's what we need to know. Did the bookmaker know about the dog before the dog was revealed to the public? That's what we need to get to the bottom of.
The dog was like, November or December. It was around the time of the winter meetings, I think.
Yeah. It was like around like the announcement of the contract signing and everything. Yeah.
The revealed the dog's name December 15th. Let's see here.
We're cracking the case, folks.
I'm going through this too. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah.
Again, why is this document on OCR? It's very annoying.
Okay. Well, first I want to preface this with that was when we learned that the dog's name was December
Oh, there
15th.
wasn't a big gap in time between finding out the dog's name and finding out about the dog. That was a couple days.
It was like a week
I
at
think it was
least.
longer. But on or about December 17, 2003, bookmaker one messaged Mizuhara stating, "Hey, Ippy, it's 2 o'clock on Friday. I don't know why you're not returning my calls. I'm here in Newport Beach and I see Victor May," which is Otani, walking his dog. "I'm just gonna go up and talk to him and ask how I can get in touch with you since you're not responding. Please call me back immediately." Okay. So it was like almost a month before.
Yeah.
So maybe he did see him walking his dog too then.
So the dog is Shohei Ohtani's dog. Unless you think there's a
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani impersonator walking the dog to set up the lie in advance.
There's nothing that disproves that.
Yeah.
Like that possibility. That is absolutely a possibility. We're cracking the case.
Oh, the Shohei Ohtani dog truther can never be stopped.
Hey, I looked it up and the dog reveal was on November 16th and this text message was November 17th, so it's entirely possible that this bookie is full of shit and the dog is not real. Okay, back to the show.
Look, when IRS CI Chris Seymour tells me that he has a dog for sure, I'll believe it. But I'm gonna continue baking this one.
I
Okay.
know I have a friend who at the IRS. I'm going to ask him to look into this. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah,
I'm going to take all the advantages of living in the Beltway for once and actually crack the case and do some insider research on this.
and Ipe also during this time, unsurprisingly, was also getting involved really in deep with crypto
Oh, you don't
and was
say.
losing a ton of money on crypto.
So wait, are you saying that there's like a through line between
Gambling and
cryptocurrencies and
crypto?
gambling?
Yeah, there might be. And it also makes me wonder if he was like the one that was like, "No, you should do this FTX ad,
I've seen other people
Shohei."
say that. I don't want to let him off the hook on that in particular. There was a
Yeah.
lot of people speculating about crypto at that time. This couldn't have been the only guy in his life who'd be like, this is a free paycheck for me.
He was also doing speculation on baseball cards, which is like such loser shit. I'm sorry, like
Yeah.
not I mean, not that the collecting baseball cards is bad, but like trying to do it for like money. I'm sorry, that is
Yeah. That is a
that's dumb.
person, that is a person with a problem.
Yeah. If you're like buying hundreds of thousands of dollars in baseball cards on eBay and whatnot, like thinking you're gonna flip them for some, big payday. Sorry, man, but that is pathetic.
It is very odd to me that the only baseball related thing he did was playing cards in particular. Like, didn't bet on any
Yeah.
games as far as we can tell. Didn't
Yeah,
take any
for
advantage of like knowing Shohei Ohtani to get any kind of advantage. Mostly
right.
otherwise just betting on like college soccer.
God.
Like,
College soccer?
that was like the first bet that he did with this bookie was like UCLA soccer. No, he was like an advanced gambler so quick. Like
yeah.
usually it takes like a really problem gambler a while before they get to like, college soccer, like, I'm betting on high school football or something. Like, but like Ipe was doing it right away.
Most probably don't start with like essentially an infinite amount of money at their disposal. That's
Yeah.
probably a part. Like
Yeah. Yeah.
most gamblers probably get into it with like most of the money they have, and that's a very limited amount in comparison to the guy who has access to all of Shohei Ohtani's Tungsten Arma Doyle money.
Yeah. It is like an incredibly sad thing,
Yeah, it
all of this.
sucks. Yeah, he's facing 30 years in jail for
Yep.
an addiction. He's married, got kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, we're still fucking stoking this addiction in millions of people across the country. It's
Yeah, the league is
great.
just gonna just the league is gonna wash their hands and be like, well, this has worked. We caught him.
Like, in the same week that this came out, the Yankees were like posting tweets with lines on their games. That's so fucking perverted. Like,
Yeah.
God, like having, just having it be that official is so disgusting. Like, and this was an illegal bookmaker, whatever.
It wasn't just that. He also had apps on the. He had accounts on all the apps. He was
Yeah.
gambling through those too.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And we haven't really seen the breakdown of which money goes where. I doubt he was just spending like $10 a week on that.
Don't gamble. It's fucking stupid. It creates no value for you or anyone else other than the fucking gambling people. It's the
Yeah.
dumbest thing you could fucking possibly do.
If you want to throw away your life on something like for completely addicted, there's always drugs. They're right there.
Drugs give you better. Drugs give you, like, you get more value out of drugs than gambling.
The only cost of drugs is the drugs themselves. I'm not
Hey,
encouraging chemical addictions either. We should.
if you ever are like watching one of these games and the gambling stuff comes up and you're like, oh, maybe I should place a bet on that. Instead, no, don't do that.
Hit
Instead,
yourself
take.
with a hammer.
Hit yourself in the head with a hammer and then go to patreon.com/batting around and commit to, instead of losing, $100 every week on gambling, you can just give us $5 a month and you get bonus episodes of the show.
It's a great deal.
And who do you want to give money to? These gambling scumbags or a humble podcaster bringing you hours and hours of entertainment?
Yeah, what's more thrilling? Lo winning $1,000 on a incredible timely home run, or getting to hear the three of us, a bunch of nerds in our 30s, talk about our feelings about Warhammer.
Really shocked at how fast this came out. I thought it
Yeah.
would take
Yeah.
longer before we'd get real like resolution on this, but like this really just seems like open and shut, like with all the forensic evidence they have. I don't know, it just
I need to
seems
say it. This is a thank you, Joe Biden moment
yeah,
for
for
funding the
funding the
IRS
IRS.
properly. Yeah. They said they were going to crack down on white collar crime, and by golly, they're doing it.
You know what? They did it.
I actually,
Yeah.
I don't know if this is a hot take. Forensic accounting is cool. It's kind of like an
I think it's cool
exciting.
too.
Yeah.
I honestly do think it's pretty cool
There
too.
are cops,
Yeah.
ACAB and all that. But if you're going to be a cop, be the kind that like looks through paperwork so hard that you indict rich people. Use math for good. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with like going after, money launderers. Like that's not like somebody stealing shit because of poverty. Like really, this is it's pretty different. Yeah, ACAB and everything like you were saying, but like, if you could be a detective without being a cop, it's like the coolest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Especially if your job is in looking at spreadsheets. That really gives those of us, the little people who look at spreadsheets all day, a little bit of hope for a better future.
The spreadsheet makers,
Yeah. Who spreadsheets the spreadsheet
We got
makers, if
a
anything?
we should open a bar for these sort of agents, for these investigators, and we're gonna call it the pivot table.
Oh no, we broke Lauren.
It is it's incredibly sad, Bizarre's career is over. Life is pretty fucked up here, but got some resolution here. We got some pretty good evidence that Otani really had nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That there was just rank incompetence up and down the line of the people that he trusted, which is really, really sad, but also hopefully a lesson going forward for all these guys,
Totally. And you know what? There's a little bit of silver. I find a little bit of silver lining in it. You know who kind of gets to be in the spotlight again? A guy I really like, Will Ireton, the translator who previously came to the Dodgers for Kenta Maeda, and was a great clubhouse presence on those years. With the Dodgers, with those years, he was like a big like workout, like big fun guy in the workout room with the players. I'm glad he's gotten to kind of step back into the limelight a little bit and work as Ohtani's new translator to kind of get him through all this. That's pretty cool.
I love the fucking Athletic article. Who is Shohei Ohtani's new interpreter, Will Ireton? Like, oh, who's this celebrity like wearing? Like, I love the floodlight on Ohtani that just like doesn't exist on any other baseball
Yeah, it
player.
just takes everyone, like even Jason Jones kind of gets falls up, falls into it somehow.
Yeah.
But no, Will Arkin, cool guy.
Hopefully, Ohtani will do the smart thing now and be like, all right, I got an accountant and I got a lawyer to watch that accountant. I got a lawyer to watch that lawyer. And all of them need their own translators too. Okay. That's good on that. Should we get to some mailbag?
Do we have
Yeah.
mailbag?
There's a couple here, I think. Yeah, let's do this one from Armchair Super Soldier. Which team is most likely to fit three shitty prospects into a trench coat, trying to pass them off as one demigod player to get assets out of the Marlins this deadline? If we go by the last decade of trade history of who fleeces the Marlins, it's the Yankees. So probably the Yankees, I would say.
What's the most competitive team with the worst farm system? Might be the Royals. Royals are kind of off to a bit of a hot start. They're sticking around and competitive. They might try to trade like Blake Mitchell and two other less talented guys than Blake Mitchell to the Marlins, the team with the minor league pipeline ranking directly below their own.
I think we should wait a little bit before we say that the Royals are going to be
Yeah,
competitive at the
probably.
deadline.
Astros and Braves, but minor league systems are also pretty crappy.
We're 15 games in the season here. I'm also, this is kind of cope too, because the Twins are off to a bad start because they've lost everybody to injury and they're hitting like 180 as a team.
Royals are looking pretty good. I don't know. I know we do this every year, but like Bobby Witt Jr. is pretty good. Salvy Perez still got some gas in the tank.
Let's give it some time.
Jamie
Let's
Pascatino, most Italian guy of the last 20 years. Like, I'm sure there's, I have no issue believing Michael Wacha could throw 200 of XERA 3.1 ball. I'm being sarcastic. I don't think that. But I don't know. Maybe Brady Singer's better than the Saints. I don't know.
I think it's still a little early.
Paul
Remember
Reiser, was
last
he
year
really
when we
pretty
were
bad?
talking about the Pirates?
Well, that was the Pirates. That's a different team.
The Royals, come on.
I
Is
know,
there
I
that
know.
much daylight
I
between the
know.
Pirates and the Royals in the last
There
decade?
could
Come
be.
on.
Well, I mean, yeah, in the
Come
last decade,
on.
literally, yes. In the last decade, I could think
Well,
of
okay.
one specific team that was
There's
a lot
one.
better.
But what happened immediately after that? Let's be real here. Come
They
on.
had several seasons where they were still better than the Pirates.
Ugh.
Mediocre is still better than the Pirates. That's all. I understand your point. I'm just saying.
Okay, I think that's it for the mailbag. Oh, I got one thing that I'm an idea that it came to me last night that I think that I'm kicking around. I think I want to start a database of MLB wet guys. This was inspired by last night. I saw a tweet by the Dodgers of Brusdar Gratterall and his daughter, and I was not aware that Brusdar Gratterall is now a long curly wet hair guy.
Oh, I missed it. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah.
You see that? Where it's like the shaved sides and the hair going like all like way down his like down to his back.
I'm so into this.
Yeah, he's so wet now, and I did not see that coming. Been following Brusdar Gratterall for a long time because since he was like a top Twins prospect, I did not know he was. This is an interesting development, and so I think I want to start a database of tracking MLB wet guys.
You don't really see a lot of wet guys who are like on the like the bigger side, like thick neck. The wet hair guys tend to be, because I think it's a little more eastbound and down when it's like a guy with a thicker neck who does it. He's not like fat, he's just like built. But yeah, you don't really see the wet hair too much on that body type.
So yeah, I think if anyone wants to help with this project, we can probably get onto the batting around Discord and start
Oh yeah, they'll help.
collecting data. Maybe I'll make a channel specifically for this for anyone that wants to work on the MLB wet guy database with me. I'll come up with a funny backronym for it or something, maybe. We'll figure that out. I think we'll end the show there. Go to patreon.com/battingaround to help support the show. We'll have some bonus episodes coming up here. We do two of those a month. But hey, if you get our Patreon up high enough, we'll do more. So so go to patreon.com/battingaround. Sign up there. Keep an eye out for some bonus
Oh,
episodes.
sorry. Can I follow up on something from last week? The Ben Franklin mini series, pretty good.
Oh
Oh
yeah.
yeah?
Yeah, check it
Nice.
out.
I should
Apple
check that
TV.
out. Did you watch the Fallout show?
I did. Yeah.
I liked it.
It's fine. It's like it's following the traditions of Fallout 3 and 4 of not doing much with the premise.
Okay,
It's
we'll get
fine.
into this later. We'll get into this later. Okay. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Gemini genuflects and says a Hail Mary for his money on the Monday night game. The girl in the sequins let him buy her a sea breeze, but he still don't think she's using her real name. Me, I'm on the border with my back in the corner, the way it's been since we closed out the war. I've seen this whole scene play out here before. Gemini flying high till he screams when he sees what the score is. Back in my homeland, our heroes were hardcore. Man, our martyrs put the matinee shows. The theme of our prom was banned in D.C. And the last dance was We Gotta Know. My day came in late, wearing club cigarettes, like some uptown track in the debutante. The sketch looked like extras from the set of River's Edge, and the straights kinda seemed like old astronauts from back in the 50s, floating freely on black and white TVs. Baring their teeth to sell junk in the ads before movies.